All right, welcome back to A View from the Couch. I am Rich.
I am Jen.
And we are here to finish out our neo-Western arc, which we're calling Wild Wild West, with a final flick, 2016's Hell or High Water. Jen, had you seen this movie before we watched it?
I had not, and this is another movie that was not on my radar, didn't even know it existed, hadn't seen anything, didn't read anything about it, so it was kind of just another one that I went into not knowing a thing about it.
Gotcha. And the the only reason that I watched this movie before we watched it for this review is because it had gotten a lot of buzz at the Oscars that year, and I thought I should probably see this movie. They're talking some big stuff about Jeff Bridges and the screenplay and that sort of thing. So I immediately got my hands on it and watched it. So I have seen this one before.
Okay.
But again, this is another movie that is written by Taylor Sheridan.
Yes.
And I'm sure you're going to talk about this more in your notes, but nominated for Best Original Screenplay. So that makes me even now think back to Those Who Wish Me Dead and think, what went wrong? This is an Oscar nominated writer.
Maybe he's better at writing than directing.
Maybe, but he also wrote Those Who Wish Me Dead too. So,
oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, I thought he had had a hand in that.
He might have. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, anyway, why don't you give us an idea of who's in this movie?
All right. So this movie was directed by David McKenzie. This stars Chris Pine as Toby Howard, Ben Foster as Tanner Howard, Jeff Bridges plays Marcus Hamilton, Gil Birmingham plays Alberto Parker, and that is the main part of the cast.
Roger that.
You have a plot summary for us?
I do have a plot summary for us. You must have read my mind.
Or it's part of the...
Oh, it's a script. That's right. That's a script. That's what we do. Okay. Hell or High Water. In West Texas, divorced dad Toby Howard enlists the help of his ne'er-do-well older brother, Tanner, in robbing small-town banks to pay for their recently deceased mother's reverse mortgage and back taxes on her ranch. Toby plans to give the ranch and the oil that was recently discovered on it to his sons. All goes to Toby's perfect plan, but he is unable to wrangle Tanner's wild nature, and the two of them end up on the radar of soon-to-be-retired Texas Ranger Marcus Hamilton and his partner, Alberto Parker. With Hamilton and Parker on the trail, Tanner robs a bank while an unwitting Toby sits in a restaurant across the street flirting with their waitress. Tanner and Toby flee to Oklahoma, where they launder the money at a casino. Toby has the check made to Midland, Texas Bank, the bank which holds the lien to their mother's home and the bank the brothers have been robbing. They then head back to Texas for their final score. Detouring to a bigger town on Tanner's advice, the brothers walk into a bank full of customers, a far cry from their usual MO of robbing banks that are, for the most part, empty. A firefight ensues, and Tanner shoots and kills the guard and one of the quote-unquote good guys with a gun. Toby is injured as the brothers flee, chased by a posse of townfolk. After a chase, Tanner fires on the posse with a machine gun, which causes the posse to temporarily retreat. The brothers then split up, with Tanner leading the pursuing sheriffs into the hills, while Toby makes a break for it to launder the last of the money. Hamilton and Parker divine the next target and arrive just as Tanner causes an explosion as a diversionary tactic and flees on foot to the hills with a sniper rifle. There, Tanner takes shots at the officers, hitting Parker and killing him. Hamilton commandeers one of the posse's trucks and goes around behind Tanner's position, eventually shooting the outlaw in the head. At the casino, Toby sees a news report that his brother has been killed and takes the laundered money back to the bank for a guarantee of release of his lien. Much later, Hamilton has retired, but he still is not able to let go of the case. He visits his old ranger's office and is told that Tanner's brother is not considered a suspect because the oil on the Howard's ranch makes more than anything that was ever stolen. Unsatisfied, Hamilton pays a visit to the ranch and finds Toby there, gun at the ready. The two have a tense conversation in which Hamilton levels an accusation at Howard, but Howard admits to nothing. They each promise to finish the conversation at Toby's house in town. See, he no longer lives at the ranch. It now belongs to his ex-wife and his sons.
This was another wild movie.
It really was. It really was. This was another pretty movie, too. Like, very well shot. holy cow. I wasn't expecting it. Like sometimes when you hear a lot of Oscar buzz, my first inclination is to be a little skeptical of it. But as soon as I started watching this movie, I thought, you know, I think they were onto something with this, because it looks desolate. I really love the subtle way in which they tell us what's going on. You know, like, you know, when this takes place, right? You can tell when this takes place just by watching, like, there's graffiti as they walk by. And it says, 3 tours in Iraq, no bailouts for us. So 2008-ish time frame, Obama is taking office. He's bailing out the motor companies, banks, right? The banks and everybody. So, you know, you automatically know when this is happening. You also get a sense that this is going to be about money, and not just like people who need money or people who have money, but about like money as a motivational tool. There's constant references to debt and like owing people and people owing you and that sort of thing. Like there's signs in debt, like all over the place, every town that you see. And there are all these little like rundown towns in West Texas. So it has this really like downtrodden feel to it. You end up rooting for these guys in the end, even though they're the bad guys.
You really do, because they're kind of pulling a Robin Hood scheme, you know,
right.
Rob from the rich to not necessarily give to all the poor, but to
give to themselves. Or to their sons, his sons.
Right. Anyway. Right. His sons. They're not mm-hmm. keeping it necessarily for themselves. It took me a bit to catch on to what was happening. And mm-hmm. even when they were kind of explaining with the attorney how it was going to work, I was still like kind of scratching my head, like, what? How is that not going to be traced back? I don't know. I actually watched this twice. I watched this once on my own. And then when you watched it, I watched it with you.
Oh, you did? Okay. I didn't know if you were watching it back there. You seemed like you might have been working. But
I was kind of working and watching. But it clicked a little more with me. So the mm-hmm. second time I was watching it, it was like, okay. Because I think because I'd seen it all the way through and then stuff was making a little bit more sense. I wasn't just trying to figure out what was going on. I already knew what was going on.
Sure.
Now I could kind of fit the pieces in there. So first watching, I was a little confused. Mm-hmm. Second watching was better. So
sure. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen this a few times now, and it always strikes me that they bury that lead quite a bit. Like you do have to watch it multiple times to kind of get the gist of what's going on there, because they start talking about, well, also there's another thing that kind of indicates the time frame: reverse mortgages. They were kind of all the rage back then. Right.
Right. Reverse mortgages. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that, I mean, that they drop that a couple of times, but if you don't know what that means, like what could that possibly mean for anybody? Well, you know, you're not going to catch on right away, but they do, you know, they do kind of explain it in the long run. They take pretty much the whole first and second act to kind of give you an idea of what they're doing and why they're doing it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of interesting in this very leisurely way of telling the story. Right. I kind of liked that. It took its time to get to where it was going, but after it got to where it was going, everything ended up moving fast after that, you know?
It was. Now, while this movie starts with a bank robbery, I still felt like this movie started slow, but it just kind of kept picking up speed, kept mm-hmm. picking up speed. And by the end, you're just, you know, running along here.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it started with a lot of action off the beginning. So that it seems kind of weird, but that's how it felt because of how they were telling the story.
Right.
In there. I like too that you've got these two brothers and you immediately think these are the bad guys because they're in robbing
mm-hmm.
the bank. But as they're kind of building their character and kind of talking about what's going on, you like you said, you start rooting for these guys because mm-hmm. of the situation that the bank had the mom in.
Right.
And now it's not 100% the bank's fault, but you know, it's kind of led you to believe that the bank kind of took advantage of that situation. And it sounded like the bank was doing that quite a bit with people around in that mm-hmm. area. That was kind of a common thing. But the fact that you've got Toby who came up with this plan and just asked his brother who'd been in trouble already, who'd already been to prison, asked his brother to go along with it. And his brother's just like, yeah, I'll help you. Do you feel
like Toby kind of took advantage of his brother there?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I feel like he needed someone who was probably more aggressive and tough than he was in those situations, because you could tell he was not comfortable doing this.
Mm-hmm.
He several times looked like he wanted to be done and just back out and just stop. But his brother kind of kept him going and stuff through it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do feel like he kind of took advantage of his brother there, but I think his brother was 100% on board and okay with it.
Yeah, I would say so as well. I think there's some sort of a, like he sees himself, like he says it straight out loud. He sees himself as kind of the enemy of everyone when he has that run in with the Comanche person at the casino. The first time they go to the casino, he asks that guy if he's Comanche, and he says, yeah. And he says, do you know what Comanche means? He says, it means the enemy of all people or something like that. And then Tanner says, well, do you know what that makes me? Makes me Comanche. So he's got this. He, I think, feels like the world is against him. Like he can't live within the normal constraints of society. Right. I mean, even at the point where he's having the shootout with the cops, he sits there and he says, Lord of all the land, or something like that. And because that feels free to him, that feels to him like the right place for him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he knew that if he didn't divert these cops, I think he knew that Toby wouldn't make it out.
That was going to be one of my questions is, do you think that he kind of had that plan and that thought in place ahead of time? Because he brought those weapons with, you know, the whole time they were going through this, they didn't want to use those bigger weapons. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to use those pistols or whatever. But he's like, nope, you know, we're bringing this time. I feel like he had that idea ahead of time that, nope, we're taking two vehicles, because that was his idea. We take two vehicles. Mm-hmm. I feel like he knew ahead of time he was going to send him off and he was going to divert it and kind of take the heat.
It was his.
I don't know if he thought he was going to die, but I think he thought for sure he was going to take the heat for it.
Right. It was his plan to go to the other town too, to post, because that town is bigger and there was going to be a bigger score there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. I don't think he knew he was going to die. I think he maybe wanted to go back to prison. Maybe the world doesn't make any sense to him. Right. He's institutionalized, like they say in, you know, the Shawshank Redemption or whatever, but it's kind of sad in a way, right? Although he did all that to help his brother and to help his nephews.
I wonder too, because they were talking about the abuse that they had at the hands of their father,
right?
You know, that sometimes in those situations, you'll have one of the siblings kind of be the protector type thing. And I wonder if maybe because he was the one that took most of the heat, it sounded like, and he kind of brought that on himself.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's what's happening when they're trying to take the heat off the other siblings. Maybe he was still kind of doing that. Maybe he was trying to take the heat himself. So just kind of a continuation from when they were younger.
I mean, that makes sense. I would say probably that makes sense. What did you think of the lawmen? What did you think of Hamilton and Parker?
Hamilton bothered me really bad.
Really?
Because of all the racist comments.
Okay. Yeah.
And I know he was doing it jokingly and he really did care about the guy, but Alberto was obviously bothered by all those comments.
Right.
He did not like it and he was getting really upset about it, but he continued to do it anyways.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I don't know if I like this guy, because he wasn't watching and seeing, you know, I know some people, that's how their relationship is and they go back and forth and give and take that way. But he was just saying that all the time and Alberto wasn't responding other than being upset. So he needed to stop and he needed to not treat him that way.
Yeah. I think that was a deliberate setup to make the lawmen look worse than the people that were, to make the cops, or the, I guess, to make the Rangers look like the bad guys.
Right, because I didn't have any sympathy for Hamilton. I did for Parker, right, but not Hamilton.
I will say this. Jeff Bridges is a goddamn national treasure. That dude is amazing.
Oh, he did great in this.
He did so fantastic. He got an Oscar nomination for that too, which is good. He should have. Did you notice that there, I mean, okay. Did you notice that, like, while these people are all just kind of scraping by, every time you're passing, like, anything, you're passing oil fields. There's wealth all around these people. There's wealth underneath these people, but they're all scraping by. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much of a beat down in that idea. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just brings people down, brings you down a little bit to know that there's a way out right below your feet, but because you don't own the land, it's not your way out.
Right. Well, like their whole own situation where the bank was going to get the land back and get all of that money.
Yep.
All because of, you know,
because of predatory lending practices.
Exactly. It's disgusting, actually, but
yeah,
I hear you.
The waitress in the T-bone joint.
What don't you want?
She was hysterical. I loved her. She wasn't having any of it, and it was fantastic. I loved it. Did you notice that Tanner foreshadows his own death?
I did not.
Okay, he says it.
I was trying to think.
Yeah, he says at one point, "I never met nobody who got away with nothing. Never." Mm. So knowing that he's never going to get away with this, but Toby can get away with it. I wonder if that was,
again, he took the heat for him.
Yeah. I wonder if that's the turn. I wonder if that's the point where he was like, okay, you know what? Nobody's ever going to get away with this, but one of us can take the heat. Right.
Yeah.
That's the point at which he did that.
I still think there's a little bit of disbelief in the plot to a point where nobody put two and two together that, I mean, I know they're saying that the gambling winnings couldn't be traced back, but still, I mean, you ask the bank how that loan got paid and they say by gambling winnings. Well, I mean, if you follow it back somehow, I don't know. I feel like there could have been a trail there that they could have figured out who it was, but not big enough of an issue. I feel like they tried to cover it up a bit by saying you can't trace anything with the casino, but okay.
Right. Well, they made a point that they were taking small bills only. They didn't take any bundles. So there was nothing traceable, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The waitress at the diner where Tanner robs the bank by himself refuses to give up her tip, so that they could use it as a trace, you know, just kind of.
Oh, they got it though.
They did eventually get it. Yeah. But she kind of refused that. So that kind of delayed things on their end. But, and then the other thing that they kind of hint at is when they first get to the casino the first time, well, when Toby and Tanner go to the casino, Toby pays for the chips in cash. And he's like, this is all I've got. I don't have my checkbook with me or anything like that. And the lady's like, well, we'll take whatever we can get. And she takes the money, you know? So like, they don't care how that money gets there. They want you to have the chips and they want you to gamble, right?
Yeah.
So I think that what you've got is you've got a lot of people that are unwilling to, even later when Hamilton goes to his old office and talks to the new Ranger, she says, you know, when she's going, kind of going down the list of like why they can't go after, why they won't go after Toby. She's like, look, there's, you know, these people won't work with us. There's no cooperation from the casino. There's no cooperation from the people that saw them. The waitress, she's still pissed at you for taking her cash. You know, and then of course there's the idea that there's more money underneath their feet than there ever was coming out of the bank. Why would he need to rob a bank if he had all that money? Which that's the point at which for me, I thought, okay, there's got to be a connection there, right? Because they didn't, it's not like they had that money the whole time. When the bank robbery stopped, that's when he got that oil, right? Mm-hmm. That's when the bank robbery stopped. And it just happened to coincide with when his brother was shot.
Right. I feel like there's a tracer. But they did also say they talked to the attorney. The attorney wouldn't talk. The attorney, I feel like he knew where that money came
from. Oh, he did. Oh, yeah, he did.
He knew that that it was being robbed and he was 100% okay with it. Yep.
There's a lot of people that were okay with it. The old guys at the restaurant, when Hamilton comes in and he's trying to interview them, he's like, oh, well, somebody's stealing money from the bank. It's not like they haven't been stealing money from us for, you know, decades or whatever.
Right.
Well, that's kind of true, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, everybody's kind of on the side with these guys, except for the posse that goes after them. I don't understand why the posse goes after them.
Because it's Texas and guns.
I suppose that's true. I suppose. But
they're going to protect their selves, I guess.
They're going to protect the people that
Banks
own
money?
Everything's
I don't know.
Money. Doesn't seem so good guy there, does it?
No, they were very eager to go shoot the guy down themselves. So
that's true. Yeah, that one dude didn't want to like give Hamilton his gun at all. He's like, let me take the shot. I want to take the shot. Let me do it. I'm going to put him on my hood. I'm like, oh, come on.
I mean, who argues with law enforcement that I'll take the guy out, not you?
Texans. That's who do it. Anybody that's listening to this from Texas, I understand. That's what you guys do. That's what you are. You guys are just, you're a different breed. You're a different breed. Well, I've kind of run through my notes. Do you have any additional notes?
I don't. I have a few little trivia things.
Cool. Oh, so we have Jennifer's trivia tidbits. Bits.
I do. I'm a little disappointed. I couldn't find a whole lot this week, but the first thing I want to talk about is you did mention this was nominated for some Oscars. It was nominated for 4. Yep. It did not win any.
Right.
It was nominated for Best Performance by an Actor in the Supporting Role for Jeff Bridges. It lost to Moonlight.
La La Land?
Nope.
Oh, Moonlight. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how to say the guy's name.
Mahershala Ali.
Thank you. Lost it there. It was also nominated for Best Original Screenplay for Taylor Sheridan, and it lost to Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
Best Motion Picture of the Year lost to Moonlight.
Moonlight, yep.
Best Achievement in Film Editing, and it lost to Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge editing is very interesting because there's, well, maybe we'll cover that movie someday. We'll talk about that another time, but yeah. I could see that. But yeah, I know that I think the reason that I wanted to see this is I wanted to see all of the Best Picture nominees. I tend to want to see all the Best Picture nominees.
Yeah, you usually watch the Best Picture ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw Manchester by the Sea, and I saw Moonlight, which I love, by the way. We should talk about Moonlight sometime. It's a good flick. And then, of course, I saw this one and some of the other ones, too. Do you have any alternate castings or anything like that?
I do not. So,
what?
But I do have some filming location. I always think it's interesting to find out where this was filmed at.
Okay.
Now, this was filmed in similar locations to No Country for Old Men. It was filmed mainly in New Mexico.
Interesting.
And there was a few locations in Arizona, though.
Was it in Las Vegas, New Mexico?
No.
Dang it. Now I want to go to Las Vegas, New Mexico and see what it is.
The original title of this movie was Comancheria. This refers to the region of New Mexico and West Texas that was occupied by the Comanche prior to the 1860s. In some foreign countries, the title Comancheria was still used for the movie, since the phrase come hell or high water does not translate properly into the foreign language. The phrase come hell or high water, I'm sure most everybody knows, it typically means do whatever needs to be done, no matter what the circumstances are. But it also refers to the hell or high water clause in a contract or lease, which states that payments must continue regardless of any financial difficulties the paying party encounters. So both of those phrases are what's in this movie then.
That's interesting. Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know the latter. That's interesting. And what the way I took the title is when I'm watching the movie, Tanner and Toby are going to do whatever they need to do to get that land come hell or high water. Right. Hamilton even says that. He says they're going to be at the next bank come hell or high water. He's going to get them come hell or high water. And even by that point, at the end of the movie, he is still going to, he's retired, has nothing to do with law enforcement, and he is still going to prove that Toby was part of this. You're still going to try anyway.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
All right. For the filming schedule, there was a tight film schedule for Chris Pine because he was also shooting Star Trek Beyond at the same time.
No. We don't talk about Star Trek, JJ versus Star Trek on this.
So Chris Pine was only available for 2.5 weeks. So all his scenes were shot quickly and in sequence to try and maintain the required energy level. So the final scene of the movie was shot on Chris Pine's last day of shooting, and it was actually Jeff Bridges' first day.
Oh, weird.
The only scene that the two actually shared together.
Yeah, because they're not into any, they're not really in anything together.
Nope.
Except for that.
All right. The movie features three big name actors and tested well with audiences. However, the film did not receive a wide release into theaters or major publicity. This was because advertisers didn't want to be associated with a film promoting retribution against financial institutions who feed off the working class.
Well, gee, I wonder why.
And that is all my trivia for this week.
Interesting. It's good stuff. I like that. I like the fact that is so interesting. That's why it didn't get a wide release, is that they were like, nah, I think we're not gonna,
let's maybe not promote that idea.
You know. All right. So always like to ask, did you like this movie?
I did like this movie. I wasn't sure the first time I watched it. I was kind of lukewarm to it because I was still pretty confused as to what they were trying to do. But on the second viewing, I was like, okay, you know what? This is actually a pretty good movie. So I do like this movie.
It clicked for you. Okay.
Yep.
I do like this movie as well. I think this is a really, really well-made movie. I think it's a very tight script. I think Taylor Sheridan should have maybe looked back on this before he started writing Those Who Wish Me Dead, because this is a way tighter script than that. And I love the cinematography in this flick too. This is just like, maybe it's just that Dust Bowl look that I just love. But then again,
are you a big fan of Westerns?
No, that's the weird thing is I'm not a big Westerns fan, but I do love this neo-Western subgenre. It, for some reason, that clicks with me. I like the themes of Westerns, but I don't like, you know, Spurs and Six Shooters type Westerns. Although Deadwood, I will say, is probably the only like Western themed anything that I've just been kind of, in love with, you know, the movie, not the location, although the location is nice as well. Are you a fan of Westerns?
No, not really.
No. I remember so few of them as a kid. Like Silverado, I think, is one that came out in like mid-80s. And then the only other one that I recognize that I can think of immediately is Unforgiven. But when you think about like these neo-Westerns, you can actually like put so many movies into that category, you know?
I should probably restate that. As a kid, I really didn't like Westerns. Like when Dad would pick a Western to go on, it was like, oh God, I'm going to go read or something. You know, it just didn't want it. And to the point where I really didn't watch them after that. So I don't know, maybe as an adult, maybe I would enjoy it more, but as a kid, definitely not. I did not like them.
Yeah. Well, you definitely liked Magnificent Seven when we saw that in theaters. Even if you don't remember it.
I don't remember that movie.
I find that so bizarre. We've seen this movie. We saw this movie because it has Chris Pine, or not Chris Pine, it has Chris Pratt and Denzel Washington in it. And you were like, I've got to see this movie. So we went to the theater to see it.
I feel like that rings true. But when we watched the trailer, none of it looks familiar. Like, did I sleep through this thing?
No, you came out of it like, oh my God, that was fantastic. I don't even like Westerns, but that was great.
I don't recall any of this.
So bizarre. Like you've got like this, I don't know, like this little force field up around that memory. Can't get in there. Crazy, man. Crazy.
Maybe when we actually watch it again, I'll be like, okay. Yeah. Right now, I don't know.
Fair enough.
I'll just take your word for it.
Fair enough. All right. So that's it for this week then. And next week, we're going to do our Wild Wild West Smackdown. Or maybe we should just call it Wild Wild West Shootout for this week, this batch of movies. What do you think?
We sure could.
Well, it's the SmackDown next week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on the couch.
Thank you for listening to A View from the Couch. We value your feedback. Please consider leaving us a review on Podbean, iTunes, or your preferred podcast listening app.
You can reach us on Facebook by searching at A View from the Couch, on Twitter at View_Couch, or by emailing us at aviewfromthecouch@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
See ya.